Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 14th day of December, 2023. It's been a long time since I've had my guest today on the program, and I'm so thrilled that she has returned for another interview. Her name is Jennifer Nizza. She is a former occult practitioner and psychic medium who was delivered out of the darkness and into the light and saving arms of her sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King, Christ Jesus, who will be addressing the theme of her book, From Psychic to Saved. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Jennifer Nizza.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much for inviting me back. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
I am thrilled to have you on the show, and I'm immediately going to give our listeners our email address if they want to join the conversation with a question of their own. It is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, such as someone very close to you is involved heavily into the occult, and you don't want to identify yourself at this point. I understand that, and we will be more than happy to honor your request to remain anonymous. But if it's a general question, please at least give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Well, Jennifer, we have a tradition on this program when our first-time guests give a summary of their salvation testimony. And even though you've already been on the show, it's been such a long time since you've been on. In fact, you haven't been on since we were originally airing out of WNYG radio in Babylon, Long Island. So you have not been on since we relaunched the show in Pennsylvania. I would love for you to give us a summary of your salvation testimony, which would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which you were raised, if any, and what kind of sovereign or providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you.
Sure, it'd be my pleasure to share that with you guys. I was raised actually culturally Catholic. And what I mean by that is the holidays were mainly about the food. Over here on Long Island, New York, we would go to Queens, Nanny and Pop-Ups, and we would have all the wonderful Italian feasts. And outside of that, there was not any participation in church. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't even understand the quote-unquote sacraments that were kind of just like going through the motions.
Did you go to a Catholic school?
I was in public school, but I went to catechism, religion
right.
class. Yeah. I went to religious instruction and went through all the preparation to do penance, communion, and confirmation. I had no idea what any of those things meant when I was doing them. I was just doing them. And the interesting thing is that at home, we were talking about the paranormal, talking about supernatural experiences, even in my own home. I always say, Chris, we don't throw Mom under the bus, but Mom was in the environment with a psychic. Her aunt was a psychic, and into a lot of those, which I would say is probably like Reiki. She believed she was healing people and things of that nature. So Mom grew up around it. Mom went to Catholic school. She grew up around this. And so in our home, we were talking about this stuff, you know, as if it was just regular stuff to talk about, you know, activity in the home, the lights going on and off, who had the Ouija board, you know, story, this, that, and the other. And I ended up getting my first tarot card reading when I was 13. Mom was a hairdresser, and this beauty supply that she would go to, the woman, a woman who worked there, she read tarot. And, you know, a very big thing in the new age, or if you're a reader, would be to do group readings, and you go to do parties and things of that nature. And of course, it's not entertainment at all. And Mom had her come over. My mom had a little beauty parlor in the house, and she had her come over. And this woman was doing readings in my home, and we were allowed to participate, my sister and I. There were short readings, like little 15-minute private readings, which is par for the course, honestly, because then you hand out the business card, because, you know, the enemy will get you on the hook there, and you want to sign up for more. And I had that first reading, and I was so intrigued by it. I couldn't understand what was happening. How was she reporting information to me that was accurate, things that had already happened? So I wanted more. I was that person. I wanted more of it. And that was when I started to pursue it. My sister and I actually both started to pursue it. I think she got her first deck of tarot before I did. And we started doing readings in our teens. We were doing readings. We were doing readings daily. And that, it just doesn't stop there. We were getting readings. You know, once we had, I always had like these little jobs, had my own money, would call and make appointments and get readings. And it escalated from tarot to astrology, numerology, playing cards. All that is a technical term is cartomancy, where you're using cards for insight or supernatural information to receive it. Psychics, clairvoyance, psychic mediums, all these readings, all the books, and my sister too. We both were very intrigued by it. And, you know, even my family, we started doing group readings with some psychic mediums throughout the years. So I really went down the rabbit hole of destruction. And as I was doing all of this, I was receiving a lot of information, quote unquote messages, if you will. I kind of call it like being downloaded right into your own mind, but it's not your thoughts. Information about perfect strangers. And so I started reading friends, not only family. And as it went on for me, I hate to say this, but went up to the next step of actually becoming a psychic medium. And the reason why is because the more you go down that road, the more oppressed you're going to be. And I certainly was, meaning I, you know, demons were manifesting and I was getting a lot of information. And then I started getting information about people that were deceased. And I truly believed I was speaking to deceased people, getting information from deceased people. And I was told by the New Age community that I had a gift from God, in fact. And it was my responsibility to use that gift to help other people that were grieving, that wanted to connect with their loved ones. And I went to this divination group or class, if you will, because there's nothing new under the sun, Chris. These things are still going on today. There are spiritual centers all over the place, and they offer these classes, you know, whether it's tarot, divination, whatever. I was in a group of people that were doing all different kinds of divination, crystal readings, aura, chakras, And of course, there I was, the psychic medium. And I came out of there with business cards in my hand. And I know that sounds, I mean, it is terrible, but I was taught that I was using energy and there had to be an exchange of energy because, of course, everything in the New Age is about, you know, energy and raising your vibration and frequency and everything. So the person needed to pay you for the reading. It didn't have to be a lot of money, but they needed to pay you. It was an exchange of energy. And so I come out with the business cards and that was it. I kept going. I kept going, doing readings. I was doing group readings. And at this time, parallel to this, you know, I would have happy moments in my life, but there was so much destruction too. There was so much destruction. There was this oppression. Like I said, there was fear. I always felt these entities around me, but I didn't know that they were demons. I had false tools of protection that, again, in that New Age group, we were taught, you know, hey, if you burn enough white sage around yourself, you can protect yourself. Notice how it always goes back to you with all this power, by the way. And you can imagine white light around yourself, and that would help to protect you from evil spirits. I wasn't like some of the New Agers where I didn't believe that there was something bad lurking around. I knew that there was something bad because I could tell, and I saw ugly, bad, terrifying things. But I, like I said, I wouldn't have called them demons. I didn't know what to call them. I didn't know Jesus. I knew the New Age Jesus, the one who is very subjective and lets you do whatever you want, basically. And I really cared about these people, Chris. I really wanted to help people. And that's how I always say the enemy was preying on something that is so beautiful about the love and compassion that I had in my own life, in my own heart. And I really, truly wanted to help others. And of course, I wasn't, because there is no help, really, when you go to the dark side, when you're going to the occult, when you're going to divination, there is no true help. Even though you may think that, that's deception and it's temporary and it's false, just like the tools of protection I was using. And I went on, and I actually ended up leading my own divination classes, I should say. I taught law of attraction, which is manifesting. I taught chakra balancing with pendulums. I was counseling, quote unquote, even teenagers who were having demonic experiences. I even had a woman hire me once, which is, it's so heartbreaking looking back on this. Her son was dying of cancer. He was 17 and he was afraid. Oh boy, I get emotional when I talk about this. He was afraid to die. And they hired me, the psychic medium. And it kills me because, boy, if only I knew the gospel, right? That would have been the message that boy needed to hear, not from a psychic medium. So I was full on. But like I said, at the same time, I also was extremely oppressed. And all of this led up to the end of my 36th year, started when I was 12. Because it started right before that tarot card reading. But at the end of my 36th year, I came to a moment of near destruction, such horrific demonic oppression. And I know now that the Holy Spirit was drawing me, because I just cried out on the name of Jesus. And I had such a peace come over me, just such an overwhelming peace. I had not heard the gospel, though. I didn't know I was a sinner that needed to be saved. I just had this experience. So I was very, what I call, spiritually vulnerable after that. The enemy didn't want to loosen his grip. I ended up getting into some, you know, some books that were massive false teaching. Betty Edie, Embracing the Light, you know, her NDE. And meanwhile, she also subscribes to reincarnation and doctrines of demons of the like. But I had no way of knowing that. I did stop doing psychic readings for a little while. So again, I go back to saying the Holy Spirit was certainly present, convicting me. I just didn't know who he is. I didn't know why I didn't want to do readings anymore, but I didn't. But lo and behold, some months later, I went back to what I knew. I went back to doing the readings. And this, so from the moment that I cried out to Jesus to now fast forward 10 months later, back doing readings. I had a friend come over for dinner, and she was a friend I met in the New Age in divination group. I used to read her family, her friends. In between the last time I had seen her, she actually ended up getting saved. And I had no idea about this. So she comes for dinner and we're just talking, and casually she starts talking about Jesus and church here on Long Island that she started attending. And she invited me to go to this church. And I said no. I completely declined her invitation. And that was pretty interesting looking back. But a month later, I woke up on a Sunday morning and I had this strong urge to go to church, to go to that church that day. I just knew I wanted to go. And I did. And I went to this church, and this church was not a Catholic church. It was a Bible-based church, non-denominational, I think. Yeah. And something I was not used to at all. It was, you know, people were standing, they were worshiping, their arms are up in the air. I'm like, what are these people doing? And the words are, you know, on the screens, and it was all very beautiful, a little overwhelming. And they start singing, Jesus Save Me. And I'm singing with the group. And once I started singing that lyric, I flashed back immediately to the moment I cried out to Jesus Christ 10 months prior. And it was like that confirmation. It's me, Jen. That was me. You know, I'm Jesus. I love you. I saved you physically and eternally. And I was so overwhelmed with joy. I truly and fully believed in Jesus Christ that moment. I was crying and I heard the gospel being preached. I was under the preaching of the word. I recognized that I am a sinner that needed to be saved, that there was nothing I could do on my own. There was nothing at all I could do. There were no works that were going to get me to heaven. Heaven is a real place. God is real. It's not the subjective thing that's made up in the New Age. And here it was. And I was just, this was, you know, amazing. I felt this freedom, this instantaneous freedom in Christ, like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. And I go home, probably about a 15-minute ride, go home from the church. And the first thing I did was Google search. Yes, I Googled. I did not have a Bible on hand. I should mention I never cared about reading the Bible, never looked to read the Bible. I didn't debunk the Bible. I didn't care if you read it, but I had no interest in it. So I didn't have a Bible available. But so I Google searched, what does the Bible say about psychic mediums? And honestly, this wasn't something I was, you know, I went into this deep, you know, contemplative, you know, mindset about on the 15-minute ride home. I really believe the Holy Spirit led me there, because how on earth was I going to continue to be a psychic and a follower of Christ? Was never going to happen. And I looked up these verses and I said, oh my heavens, you know, God is so clear about this. God says, Deuteronomy 18, 10 to 12, he lists medium, spiritists, don't interpret omens, don't see fortune tellers. The people there were doing that. Moses was leading them into the promised land. Of course, I didn't understand that then. But and here are the instructions. Don't do what they're doing. Don't do these things. God finds it to be an abomination, and the person who's doing it. And that's all I knew, Chris. That day I said, okay, he says not to do it. He just saved my life. I'm not going to do it. So I quit my job. I made a conscious decision to turn away from what I had been doing after it was revealed to me. And I made an appointment with the pastor, the senior pastor of the church, for later that week. And I met with him and spoke with him and told him what I had been doing as a job and what I had been doing all those years. And he was so kind to me, spoke truth to me, and I started attending church. And that was 10 years ago.
Hallelujah. And and I'm very thrilled to know that now you are a member of my former church, or should I say the church where I was formerly a member, as my friend Bill Shishko always gently rebukes me when I use the phrase my church. He will say, it's not your church, Chris. It's Jesus's church. But the former church where I was a member, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York. And please extend my warm greetings and love in Christ to everyone there, especially Pastor Doug, Pastor yes. Bob. I have not yet met face-to-face the new pastor, Daniel Mercado, but I hope to meet him sometime and interview him. And I know the pastoral intern there, Brandon Fedricks. In fact, I knew his mom before he was born.
And oh, wow.
His mom used to be a member of a church that my brother attended and was a member of many years ago, back in the 80s. And I, of course, know Doug's sons who are deacons there now, Stephen and Dan. I knew them since they were little tiny kids. And Chris, glad Chris Schaff is a deacon there now. And I see,
yes, he is.
I see a couple of men on the diaconate board who I am not familiar with. But there are a bunch of folks over there that I know and love and remember. And please extend, as I said, my warm greetings and love in Christ to them.
I will, Chris. I will. It's a phenomenal church, and it's an amazing church family, one that has been so supportive, godly pastors, sound teaching, biblically sound teaching. And, you know, my other church that I had, you know, been where I was saved and baptized in, also a great church, doesn't line up with my theology, though. The Lord really right. moved me to, you know, reform theology. And so, you know, I'm so happy. I'm home. This is my church home. So I'd be thrilled to extend your greetings.
Great. And actually, I will be seeing those folks in March of 2024, because I am going to be once again the MC for their fundraising gala to raise funds for Grace Christian Academy, the classical Christian school they operate. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yay.
Well,
I'm looking forward to going and seeing you.
Yeah, amen. It was great to see you at the G3 conference as well recently.
And G3 was great.
Yep. Well, we have to go to our first commercial break, and when we get back to our interview, we're going to be delving deeper into the actual tenets of the occult that involve psychic mediums and so forth. Trying to get to what is commonly actually believed, taught, and practiced by people in that realm and other things. And, of course, we'll be taking listener questions at chrisarnson@gmail.com. And remember to give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with more of ex-psychic Jennifer Nizza.
I'm Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique Christmas gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. And look for their upcoming Cyber Monday sales. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. They are giving us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they make their purchase. It's as simple as that. Mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you buy jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com, and we get 100% of the profits from that sale. So whether you're purchasing a piece of jewelry that they already have in stock, let's say you want to have, you want to purchase something as a Christmas gift. So obviously at this point in time, you'll have to purchase something they already have in stock. Or for a purchase that involves more time, perhaps you'll have enough time to have something custom designed for Valentine's Day or for your wedding anniversary, or if you're getting engaged or for any other occasion, or if you're just getting something for yourself. I would urge you to go to royaldiadem.com as soon as possible to get the ball rolling on that custom design piece of jewelry that you want created. And just a suggestion, some of you may want to have your church logo turned into a piece of jewelry, or your parachurch ministry logo, or your denomination logo, or your seminary logo, or whatever it is that you could conjure up in your brain. They will take what's in your brain and turn it into a physical piece of jewelry that will blow your mind. So please go to royaldiadem.com soon if you have any interest in purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone else, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this amazing opportunity where we get 100% of the profits from the sale. Go to royaldiadem.com, royaldiadem.com, and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And by the way, I want to thank again Jerry Johnson, a world-renowned Reformed Christian apologist and documentarian, who purchased his wife's most recent birthday present from royaldiadem.com, a gorgeous diamond ring that she was showing off in social media. And we received a check from royaldiadem.com for 100% of the profits from that sale. So you can do that too. If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you have any interest in buying jewelry, you could kill two birds with one stone by not only blessing yourself and your loved ones with jewelry, but blessing us so that we will receive 100% of the profits. That's royaldiadem.com. We're now back with Jennifer Nizza, who is an ex-psychic who has been saved by the blood of Christ and is now a member of a Reformed Baptist church in New York, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island. And we are discussing her book, From Psychic to Saved. If you have any questions, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. And before I go to any questions, I just wanted to have you clarify some things. Before you even became a psychic yourself and you were experiencing psychics giving you information that you believe only someone communicating with some other spiritual, supernatural entity would be able to know, how clear was that to you? Was it vague enough where it could have been the product of, as they call them, parlor tricks, or at least they used to call them that? And as you likely know, especially since you've been in the business of being a psychic medium yourself, I don't know what the percentage is, but there, it must be flooded with charlatans as well as people who are actually having real supernatural experiences. Even when you reflect upon it now, as opposed to when you were first hearing these things, how certain are you that this information you were receiving from the psychic mediums was genuine information that they were receiving from the dark side?
I'm glad you brought that up, Chris, because I think it's important to state, and I'm going to answer your question, but it's important to state that divination is real. And that's something that people really need to know, because the hucksters and the charlatans, you know, play it off like this is just a scam and it's all bogus. And I would say that's the minority of quote unquote readers.
Oh, you think that's the minority, the charlatans?
I really do. I do. I really do. I, you know, you can spot them from a mile away. They're going to crack an egg over your head. They're palm. I always have this little, I go to say psalm, because now you can see 10 years walking with Christ. Palm readers with the same spiel that they give. There's about, I don't know, one on every half block, especially in Queens, Manhattan. They're popping up all over the place. But there's kind of that routine way of doing things. Cold readings. Even the mediums that you see that are, you know, the Long Island medium and everything.
Right.
Really connecting. She's really connecting, but people will accuse her of being a fake and a phony. And there are some things with doing stage readings, which are a little bit different. But just going back to your question really quickly, the first reading that I had, I was convinced that it was completely a spiritual experience. I just didn't understand it, because the information given to me in that small reading was absolutely accurate. I don't like using the word truthful, because demons don't speak in truth, but it was accurate. It was things that had happened that were visible to these creatures, to these entities. These spirits, demons are around, and whatever they've seen, they can report accurately. And it was specific enough. It wouldn't have been generic. You know, I mean, for example, my best friend at the time, and I was a kid, I was 13, best friend at the time, just had come from a big trip to Ireland with her family. And she brought me this beautiful ring back. And okay, you're 13, charlatan would have said, okay, you have a best friend, and they gave you a gift. That would have been something very generic and something I think a charlatan would have said. But this woman was very specific, you know, that she, where she went, the time frame she went, the specific piece of jewelry she brought, so on and so forth. And I was convinced of that. Now, throughout the years of getting the readings, like I say, I would say, just say 2 out of every 10, I would have said would have maybe been a charlatan. I don't know, maybe even 1. And they were easy to spot. They were very easy to spot. But the majority were real readers who were really communicating with demonic spirits masquerading as either departed loved ones or of some sort of helper. I call spirit guides. We all had a spirit guide. Spirit guides are, in my opinion, the counterfeit Holy Spirit. It's this demon masquerading as somebody who's going to help you, give you wisdom, give you insight, provide quote unquote truth. And of course, a spirit guide is none of those things, nothing more than a demon masquerading. But most of the readings that I had were really, you could tell, not from charlatans.
But the spirits themselves were charlatans, because very often you are being told that a medium is hearing from a deceased loved one. That is not really happening. It's a demon or something that's masquerading as a loved one, a deceased loved one. Am I correct in that?
That's absolutely right. Known as a familiar spirit, AKA demon. But the medium themselves isn't trying to trick you. They really believe that they're speaking to grandma, grandpa, whoever, but you're absolutely right. The demons are the charlatans. Absolutely. 100%.
And for the sake of my fellow theologically reformed listeners who tend to be very skeptical about anything outside of Christianity that involves the supernatural, that might put all of this under the umbrella of charlatanry and hucksterism and fakery, a hero to most, if not all, Reformed Baptists, A.W. Pink, Arthur Pink, he was a great Christian evangelist and author from the Reformed Baptist perspective, from the early to mid 20th century. He went home to be with the Lord in the 1950s. But before he was saved, he joined the Theosophical Society, which is an occult Gnostic group in England. And he rose to prominence within its ranks. And when he got saved and would later reflect upon those days when he was involved in the occult, he was still, as a Christian, convinced that they were not parlor tricks that he was witnessing, that they were genuine supernatural manifestations and occurrences that he had witnessed and had been involved in, just not of the good kind, not from God, but from Satan. So I just wanted to let our listeners know, they may be totally ignorant of that fact that Pink was involved in the occult before his salvation. And if you get his biography from Banner of Truth, you will learn that and much, much more about A.W. Pink. I think it may have been Ian Murray who wrote that for Banner of Truth, but I can't remember right now. But I'll let you know perhaps later on in the show. Mm-hmm. So now, moving forward to you believing that you had received this gift, so-called, and you were just reflecting earlier on when you were giving your testimony about demonic manifestations. What exactly does that mean? I mean, did you actually see demons, or did you hear their voices? What was going on?
Yes, yes.
Wow. What did a demon look and sound like?
So they manifested in different ways, different forms before me. I saw ones that looked like, so a familiar spirit looks like a human being. People call them ghosts. It's not a ghost, of course. There's no real deceased person being brought before you. It's a demon masquerading as a human being, and really shocking when you don't expect to see that. I remember sitting at my kitchen table, my head was down on my arms, and you know, I kind of just like looked up casually. I picked my head up and looked to the left, which was the hallway. And at the end of the hallway was the room that I slept in. And I looked up and I looked to my left, and standing in the doorway was this demon that looked like a man, a tall, lean man, looked dressed like a professor. But you know, those jackets with a man's jacket with those, what were they, like patches on the elbow?
Yes.
Not, well, it was called a pen. Yeah, you know, like a corduroy jacket with,
yes,
that patch.
I even probably still have one in my closet.
Oh, do you?
Probably, although I've never been a professor before.
Well, so so we're safe with you. and I was shocked. I mean, I almost fell off the chair, and it was just such a cold, dead stare. So this is not three-dimensional like we are, right? You could see we have matter and substance to us. It's more of this, oh gosh, how do you describe it? Not foggy, but oh boy, type of not see-through, not foggy. You see it, but just not substance like
right,
we are.
Right, right.
Yeah. And just
translucent.
I like that. Let's go with that. Translucent. And that was something I noticed. That was a pattern. Whenever I saw a familiar spirit, usually it had that dead look in the eye, pardon the pun there with the dead, but the that cold stare. I also saw animals, demons that would manifest as animals. So imagine now still with that translucence that we were just talking about, but they were like scary and dark looking owls, scary looking dog corpses, things like that. And then I started getting touched by demons. I would be on the treadmill and they started touching my hands.
What did that feel like? Did it actually
feel like a person?
Really?
Yeah. It felt like a person touching my hands. I mean, to the point where you actually look down, or you look. One time I thought that the cat was on my foot. I felt the pressure, the warmth, the weight. And I looked down. There's no cat on my foot. The cat's in the other room. I could see the cat. But that's what it feels like. Even when you have, when you feel them sitting on your bed, or I'm talking like everybody gets this. They don't, thank God. But it feels the real, you know, pressure, like a person, and that you will look down, that you'll take notice, or that you'll be in shock. And that was happening more and more. When I would do readings, when I started doing particularly the mediumship readings, when familiar spirits were, quote unquote, I hate to use the terminology, but coming through, right? And we know it was not really deceased people. They're demons masquerading, but I would have this sense about them that would be nicer if it was like grandma or grandpa or mom or dad. There would be this sense that, you know, a mom feeling or a dad feeling. And then there would be times I did a reading where I'll never forget this. I was doing a group reading, and I offered two ways of having group readings. You either could all sit together in one room, or you could have mini readings, just like I had when I was 13, 15 minutes, one by one. And this woman came in for the reading, and she sat before me. And so I start channeling, and this demonic spirit pretending to be her uncle starts coming through. And this woman starts looking at me with hatred in her eyes. And I felt sick and creeped out. This uncle, right, shot her when she was a child and her brother. And I'm getting all this information. And so this was a very bold and blatant demon. This was one that was very aggressive and had no problem stating these things. And remember, the agenda is always destruction. This is what these demons are on assignment to do, right? Steal, kill, and destroy. And this woman looked like she was about to destroy me, let me tell you, because it was like I was the uncle and I wasn't there anymore. And she's looking with that hatred and that, and I don't blame her for feeling how she felt, but it wasn't me. I was the messenger there. And I felt sick after that. I went home. I will never forget it. I felt sick for, I don't remember if it was just a weekend or a full week, but I felt sick after it. And you think what nerve I have, right? Because I'm communicating with demons all the time, but they really come through differently. They manifest differently, just like I said, even in how they look or, you know, how they appear to you. So black shadows, black shadow figures, I should say. I saw those. I saw them during sleep paralysis. Oh my gosh. It was terrible. And, you know, it's not something that you can't blame it on. You know, people will say, and I always say, don't insult people that have mental illness, because it's not a mental illness. Psychic mediumship is not a mental illness. Seeing in the spiritual realm that way is not a mental illness, because it is controlled. I received information, Chris, about people that were strangers. I had their name when I started doing taking appointments. I had their name and their phone number. That's all I had. And I could go through their whole, I was being fed information by these demons about their family, about their life, things that had happened, things that they even had to go back and they found out through their husband or their mom or their dad, stuff about their grandparents, their great grandparents, what they were doing last week. Just perfect strangers. That's not an illness. That is tapped into the demonic. That's what it is.
By the way, folks, I found the book, the biography of A.W. Pink, to which I was referring earlier. It was written by Ian H. Murray, and it is available at the Banner of Truth. In fact, I would strongly urge you, if you intend to buy it, to go to our sponsors. Banner of Truth is not hurt by this at all, because Cumberland Valley Bible Books Service, who sponsors this show, purchases these books from the Banner of Truth. So go to cvbbs.com, CV for Cumberland Valley, BBS for BibleBookService.com. Make sure you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you are going to that website and purchasing this book titled The Life of Arthur W. Pink by Ian H. Murray. Anyway, so when you were experiencing these things, how early on or how late into your journey through this did it begin to haunt you that this was not a good thing, even if you believed it was absolutely real, that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, this is good. This is something proper. Even if you don't have Christ in your life, there are people who are opposed to this kind of thing. Even if it just creeps them out, tell us about what you were thinking when you were experiencing these things.
Pretty early on, I was afraid when those things happened, when I saw those evil manifestations, I was afraid. At that time, I don't think I was even particularly tying it into doing the readings. I didn't know. It was when I started going to that divination group that then I had that idea that, okay, all right, so I'm meditating, I'm doing readings. That makes sense that, you know, there's good and there's bad. But now I had this sense that I could control it somehow. I was being told I could control it. Like I said, those false tools of protection. And you used a good word there. You used the word haunt, which sounds like a, you know, people think of the movies and haunted houses and stuff like that, but it really does haunt you. It's tormenting. I felt, like I said, I felt those presences around me all of the time. And so when I got older, like I said, after the divination group and everything, and then I would go out and do these group readings, and I was afraid to go at night. I was afraid to go by myself. I was afraid to drive because the drive home always included some extra demons manifesting themselves in the road. And like I said, something I realized after the fact, they just want to cause destruction. Imagine if I had stopped short because it looks like a human being in the road, and in the rearview mirror, I could see these demons manifesting as familiar spirits coming home with me after the reading. And then you kind of have this idea, okay, it's because I was opened up, but let me go home and burn more sage. Let me get some more protective crystals. Let me imagine more white light around myself. So is the idea that you have some sort of power over demons and that you have some sort of control, and you don't. And demons aren't afraid of those things. They're not afraid of sage. They're not afraid of crystals. They only are afraid of Jesus Christ. And only Jesus has the authority over all creation. But I didn't know that.
And when you say that they're not afraid of demons, are not afraid of sage, not afraid of crystal, have they ever, in your opinion, pretended to be afraid of those things? Because, you know, the demonic realm and Satan himself are all about deception, and perhaps it may keep a person sucked into participating in something like this if they think these things are working, these things that are warding off evil. And you know, like, for instance, I don't know how much of this is a part of true experience, but sometimes I have seen, just like in the movies, during an exorcism, somebody will hold up a crucifix and the so-called or allegedly demon-possessed individual will begin screaming in agony. Now, that could very well be a trick, you know, to make the person think that this idol that they're holding, I mean, it actually further deludes the person to believe in idolatry, you know, when they're holding up something like that. But anyway, before you answer, we're going to go to a midway break, and you can answer when we come back. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jen Nizza after this break.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And let me highly recommend for those listening who are interested in this very topic that we are addressing today, the demonic realm, the occult, and so on, I highly recommend a book that is offered by solid-ground-books.com, the sponsor whose ad you just heard. It is called Satan Cast Out, and it is a remarkable book by the late Frederick Leahy, and I would strongly urge you to get your hands on this book, especially since it's written by someone of very high esteem in the Reformed faith. Some of the chapters include Angels, Good and Evil, Satan's Present Position, The Strategy of the Enemy, Our Adversary, the Devil, and more could be said. Demonic Activity Since New Testament Times is another one. Christianity and Occultism, and The Challenge of Demons to the Church of Christ, and more. This book is being offered in a 5-pack with 4 other books, so you're getting a great discount on this. 5 books by Frederick Leahy. And please go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and type in the search engine Satan Cast Out, or type in Leahy, L-E-A-H-Y. And last but not least, there is a book being offered called Public Schools, The Sorcerer's New Apprentice. So this is an excellent resource to help parents protect their children against the insidious influence of the New Age movement upon our children in the classrooms of America. That's Public Schools, The Sorcerer's New Apprentice, by John Ankerberg, John Weldon, and Craig Branch. So if you want to add that to your shopping cart, type in the word sorcerers, and that should come up. Please remember, folks, my good friends at solid-ground-books.com are experiencing a very serious sales slump. And when those that financially support this show are being negatively affected financially, that trickles down to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So please make a purchase today from solid-ground-books.com, especially if you never have before, but even if you purchase regularly from them, perhaps you're a customer every month or more, make today your largest purchase ever from solid-ground-books.com, and please mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they publish nothing but the finest Christian literature dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our modern day, including such current authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. Visit that site frequently and purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Jennifer Nizza and our conversation about her previous life before Christ as a psychic medium, I just have some very important announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address at your post office, there will be also a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, no matter what it is, as long as it is compatible with what we believe, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, folks, remember, if you are donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, never give your own church where you are a member less money than you are accustomed to giving your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us financially. In other words, don't cut in to the finances that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church. Please don't do that. And if you're really struggling to survive, wait until you are back on your feet financially and more stable before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is clear that we're primarily to use our finances, with which He has blessed us, to provide for the church and our family. Providing for my radio show is not a command, obviously. But if you do love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you're blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra funds for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please use some of that money to help us remain on the air. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, where my guest Jen Nizza is a member, well, remember, we have extensive lists spanning the globe, so no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help you find a church that is biblically faithful. And sometimes I have found churches for listeners all over the world that are only a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you too. Send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest Jen Nizza regarding her testimony and her book, Psychic, From Psychic to Saved. And before we go to any listener questions, Jen, if we could go back to the question I asked before the break, if you had ever experienced or known of anything from the demonic realm that tricks people into thinking the ways they are attempting to thwart their power are working, such as holding up a crucifix, such as splashing so-called holy water on them. And we could go on and on.
Yes, but I think in a different way than what you're thinking. So let's say I had a ritual before I would do a reading, and I would burn sage, and I would light a candle, and I would meditate. And I believed all those things were working when the reading was seemingly pleasant, helpful, warm and fuzzy type of deal. We're crying at the end of it. So I thought by doing those things, that was the reason why it was okay, why it seemed less scary. So I was definitely duped. I was duped by those false tools of protection. So when it was not as smooth as that, I blamed myself. Like there was something I just didn't do enough to, because after all, those things work against demons in the New Age grain.
Well, thanks for that answer. And let's go to a couple of listener questions. Let's see here. We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who asks, did you ever see a demon masquerading as one of your own deceased loved ones?
Oh, that's so interesting. I didn't see one masquerading as one of my own loved ones, but I did believe that I was speaking to my own dead loved ones at times. During channeling, I would channel for my family, which you would think would be a really strange thing, because you're thinking, hey, that's your family, you know, how could you, you know, say that you're channeling them? But it would always be information that I wasn't aware of, things that I didn't know, and mom and dad would have to confirm or validate. So no, I didn't necessarily see anybody that I had lost, but I definitely had the sense that I was dealing with them in channeling.
And thanks a lot, CJ. And we also have Frederica, who is in Barber, California. Frederica asks, is channeling that you keep mentioning a specific kind of medium activity? I can remember, especially a decade or more ago, seeing them featured on different television shows where the person would actually start speaking in a different voice and so on. Was that what you experienced? Yeah, I can remember that.
No.
I can remember that too. On some of the major talk shows, you would see these people and they would even physically start to like contort themselves, and you'd hear like a different sounding voice coming out and all that kind of thing.
That sounds like possession, Chris.
It probably was, but they were claiming that they were channeling somebody.
That they were just channeling. No. So the channeling that I'm talking about is when you not a complete trance-like state, but see, the meditating, New Age meditation, is this idea where you're opening your mind, and what's happening is you really are going into a different state. You're going into a different state, and that is allowing these entities in. And when I say in, I mean more so around. So it wasn't that I was demonically possessed when I was, but they would do things through you, download information, just like when I did automatic writing. So I'll use the word again, that was channeling. So I'm in a meditative state and I'm asking a question for insight supernaturally from, you know, whoever I believed it was at the time, a, you know, spirit guide or your spirit guide or your grandmother, your grandfather. And I would start writing very quickly. Automatic writing is channeling. So it's, the information is not coming from you. It's being downloaded rapidly. And that's through these demons. So right before the reading, like I said, like I mentioned, I'm going into this state, this different state, where I'm able to access these, the communication from these spirits, aka demons.
Now, when you say,
Yes.
And when you say automatic writing, from what I can remember, when I have seen people again on TV claiming to do that, they were just scribbling something. It wasn't some kind of a language. Is that what you're talking about?
That's a part of automatic writing, when you're just scribbling. And I would do that sometimes during readings. So when I used to do readings, I would have a notebook and a pen with me. And because I would receive, I would receive information different ways, whether it was something I was hearing, something I was seeing, something that then I just started writing. And sometimes I would scribble a little bit. There's an energy, and I hate to say that word, I really do, especially being saved now.
Well, as long as you add the adjective demonic to it, that will be fine.
let's even replace that. It's not even so much that's the New Age idea. It's not even that it's an energy. It's a demonic spirit that is heavily influencing the situation, okay? So I would start scribbling, but no, my automatic writings mainly were actually readings on a piece of paper. So getting the information downloaded, just as if I was sitting before you and I was just reading you and speaking to you the information, rather I would be writing it on paper. And that was a part of my services, actually.
You mean writing it in the English language, you're saying?
Correct. Writing in the English language. So let's say it was Joe Schmo wanted to know about, I don't know, something in their life, right? Or just, hey, my name is Joe Schmo, give me a reading. I want an automatic writing. So, okay. So sit there, go into the same meditative state, and boom, started receiving information, and I would write it, and you write it down. But it's not really you. You know, it's not you. It's not your thoughts, and it's not about you, and it's nothing that you could even know. It's things about these people that come out, and the validations are in there. So validations was a validation was a New Age term for when a piece of accurate information would be told, would be given, because it's kind of like this. Hey, listen, you see, how could I have known that? So now the next piece of information, and I'm kind of doing this in the position of the demon, right? So I'm going to give you this piece of accurate information, and then I'm going to tell you a bunch of other things that I really can't know with 100% accuracy because I'm not God, but you're going to believe every single word of it because I just told you you were, you know, fumbling around in your closet last week when nobody else was in the room looking for mom's necklace that you were going to bring to the reading or that you, you know, whatever, or you ate at Luigi's. I don't know why I always use that example. Any place. Because I'm Italian, I guess.
Is that a place I should visit on Long Island?
No, but I never even, it's made up.
Oh, okay. I'm sure there's a lot of Luigi's around there.
Oh, I'm sure there are. And I have a lot of good places if you want recommendations later. But, you know, you went to the Italian restaurant and last Tuesday and you spilled the spaghetti sauce on your pants and you got really mad. And then this happened and that happened. And the psychic reader wasn't there. So how could you have known that information, right? So these validations or these pieces of accurate information are being told. They're things that have already happened that can be reported with 100% accuracy. And then they're going to start filling in the gaps with the lies. I mean, well, those are lies too, right? The lie is where it's coming from. It's coming from a demon, not a spirit guide, not a deceased loved one. But now they're going to start filling it with future information as well. Because see, people going for readings don't only want to connect with somebody that they've lost. They want to hear about things. Is this going to be okay? And there are some people that didn't even want to connect with a departed loved one because they missed them. They just wanted information about what job to take, who was I going to marry, what, you know, just real psychic information. And the thing is that demons don't know the future. Only God does. Only God knows all things. Only God is omniscient. But when the demons lay down that foundation for you, hey, but I was able to tell you this and I could tell you that, you're going to believe hook, line, and sinker, and that's going to impact your decision-making. And that's going to keep you going back to the reader, which is the point, and further away from God, not going to God. And that's the point, not to come to Christ, not to hear the gospel, not to walk in truth, and not to have eternal life in Christ Jesus, but to put your faith and trust in a psychic.
Wow. we have Tati, T-O-T-T-I, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing that, in Yellow Springs, Ohio. And Tati asks, have you ever angered customers, for lack of a better term, by giving them information that they said was completely false?
No.
Wow.
No.
Really?
That sounds kind of pompous, right? But
just being honest.
I'm being totally honest with you. No, absolutely not. And I have to say that the readings that I gave were extremely accurate, and it was, and there's always a justification for something. So let's say the future thing didn't happen, right? There's always a justification. Well, you have a will, and had you gone down this road and that road, and nobody cared anyway, because you have to remember something. If what people are hanging on to is what they resonate with, and the pieces that were already given, the things that have already happened that are accurate, it doesn't take much. You want to believe this so badly, you'll take the two pieces of accurate information and throw the rest of it in the garbage. It won't matter to you. You're just so intrigued and hooked by it, and it will just keep you going. And eventually, if you can't get appointments with your psychic or your psychic medium, you're going to get your own cards. You're going to get your own crystals. And they're going to tell you to, because the enemy just keeps it going. He just is building his army. So I hope that answers that.
And let's see here. Oh, we have our old friend Grady from Asheboro, North Carolina, a faithful, loyal listener and financial supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And Grady says, greetings, Brother Chris and Sister Jennifer. What reaction did you receive from other psychics, family, and people you had readings with when you gave them the news that Jesus Christ had saved you? Have you had the opportunity to see God graciously save any of them?
Wow. Hi, Grady. Nice to meet you. Greetings. That's such a great question. When I came to Christ, I was witnessing left and right. and God put me in such a position to do that because I was still getting calls for readings. My parents completely denounced any sort of psychic communication, any tools of divination. They stopped. They were very happy for me. Could I say that they came to Christ? No, I can't say that. I don't really know what my mom's relationship is. I really believe my mom always had a relationship with Christ, but was very deceived. And now, unfortunately, she has dementia. And it's very difficult there. We keep praying. My sister stopped doing the tarot cards. She has not come to Christ. Boy, I could go through her list. I was booted. Just to answer your question, I was definitely booted out of the New Age community, better off for it. And God has restored those relationships times a million with a beautiful church family. Praise God. So the answer really is no, I haven't seen anybody come to Christ that was in my circle then. And I even had this client that I used to call her my VIP client. It was just nonstop. She just wanted readings all the time. But she let me come to her house after I was saved and sit with her and talk to her. And I was able to meet her again. And I brought the Bible and I actually gave her one of my books. And we were talking and she just isn't receiving the good news. She's not receiving it. So I just pray those seeds were planted.
Thanks a lot, Grady. And thanks for your generous ongoing support to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We have Thad, which I'm assuming is an abbreviation for Thaddeus. I don't know that for a fact, though. Thad in Badger, Kansas. And Thad says, every time I have seen a so-called medium on television, they have some kind of association with Roman Catholicism. I am not saying that Roman Catholic hierarchy approves of this, but it just seems to be a constant connection that I have personally witnessed whenever these people are being interviewed on talk shows. Is that your experience? Well, it was with you personally.
Yeah, it was with me. And he may even be referencing, which I don't know for a fact, John Edward, right. Associates. Yep. Right. Teresa, of course, Long Island medium here on Long Island. The people that I was with in the circle absolutely were associating themselves with Roman Catholicism, very big here on Long Island. And I'm trying to think of anybody else really that we see on TV. I'm not too sure, but not all of them, but definitely the ones that are standing out do. And no, we actually just made a great video about this. Doreen Virtue and I, we sat and it's on both of our YouTube channels, but we actually sat and we went through some of the Long Island medium's audience readings, stage readings, and we commented as we went. And we bring that up, and Doreen actually puts in there how the Catholic Church is not in favor of divination. Even they do know that. They're aware. So no, they don't. And plus, you have to remember something. It's still a very, it's just that way of saying, hey, I'm Catholic, but I really just do whatever I want. You know, I go to church, but I don't read the Bible, you know? So it's sad because I think that's a great deception that the enemy is that the enemy has, a tool of deception that he's using. So he wants people to think that if he throws some God words, Jesus words, religious connotations to it, that you're going to think it's okay. You're going to think it's good. You're going to think it's holy, and you're going to feel perfectly fine going and getting that reading.
And let's face it, there is not a huge leap from what they would call venerating, which is actually worshiping, regardless of what they say, dead people. You know, they claim to have some kind of contact, or they are contacting. They're not necessarily hearing back from them, but some claim they are. Mary, the saints, a myriad of saints. And I think that that just puts that Catholic at ease when delving into something from the occult world, because they don't really see that much of a leap. And I'm not going to say his name because he's deceased now, and maybe he repented of this, I don't know. But there was a much beloved Roman Catholic figure on Long Island who was a Monsignor. He had a television show, and he was reprimanded very strongly by his bishop because he was referring people in deep mourning after losing loved ones. He was referring them to mediums. And this is a Catholic Monsignor.
Wow. That's horrible.
Oh, yeah. And I have a very close family member. I'm not going to say which one, but a very close family member who is still Roman Catholic. And she has consulted mediums and, of course, was convinced of the genuineness of one particular medium because the medium said, why am I seeing a runway at an airport? And sure enough, my father was a pilot in World War II, and he maintained his pilot license all the way up through his early 70s. You know, that kind of a thing. You know, I warn her, and I warn anybody that I know who has any kind of professed connection with Catholicism, who is delving into this stuff. Look, you Catholics believe in the Old Testament just like I do. Yours is longer because they believe that the apocryphal books are a part of the Old Testament. They call them the deuterocanonical books. But I said, in your same Bible, this is condemned by God and was even warranted in the Hebrew scriptures, the death penalty. So, anyway, by the way, that comes to mind. I don't know if you've ever done a study or if you've heard Pastor Doug's or Pastor Bob's or Pastor Danny's views on this over at Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island, but have you heard of a discussion on whether or not Saul in the Old Testament, when he came, visited the Witch of Endor to summon up Saul, who had been deceased, for information and counsel and help on battle strategy, I think it was. The Bible does not say that the entity, if for lack of a better term, that was summoned up was not Saul. It never said it was a fake charlatan masquerading spirit of any kind. Do you have any belief on that at all at this point, on whether or not that was really Saul, and if that really happened, could it happen today, and all that kind of a thing?
So very interesting you bring this up. This is a huge debate, even as you probably know, amongst even scholars, theological scholars. Was it a familiar spirit or was it Samuel? So we know the story. King Saul goes, he sneaks over there in the middle of the night, and he goes to see the Witch of Endor. And she's a medium, but she is. And she was very surprised. He asks to bring, she says, who do you want to bring up? And he says, Samuel. And she looks shocked when Samuel. So right there, you could say, okay, God and his authority. And, you know, he allowed that to happen. You could say that. Or do you say, well, God has already condemned mediumship and we know that demons masquerade. So I think I love how R.C. Sproul actually, he had said something to this extent. Okay, we can go, we can look at this debate, but let's go with what we know for sure. And we know that God says, you don't do it. So if God decided to bring up Samuel, right, that was in his sovereignty and his authority to do so. It doesn't mean that you go out and do it. So we need to focus on the text of, you know, not to practice divination, not to consult it.
Right.
So personally speaking, which is what you asked me. So yes, I spoke with the pastors about it because once again, Doreen and I do a lot of work together. So we were going to make a video just kind of giving both sides. I hadn't landed anywhere at that time. This was months ago. And I brought it up to the pastors and I don't want to call them by name because I don't want to get anything wrong. But to my memory, either all of them or at least two out of the three believed it was a demon, a familiar spirit.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I've heard both, Chris. Yeah, right. I've heard both sides. You could look into it. I think John MacArthur spoke about it too. Pretty sure he did, actually. I haven't looked into it in months. I mean, I could see the argument either way.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I know. It's just that, yeah.
Right. Well, it would seem to coincide with the belief that today nobody is contacting the dead. But as you were saying, that may have been a very unique one-time example of how God permitted this to happen.
Mm-hmm. And then we see what happened. Well, he died.
Right. Right.
The next day.
And mm-hmm. and Samuel was upset, or if you want to say the spirit mm-hmm. that pretended to be Samuel,
right.
was upset for being called up. And you wonder why a demon would be upset. But anyway, I guess we'll never know until we're in heaven. And maybe when we're in heaven, we won't care.
I don't think we're going to care. I actually did ask. I asked Pastor Mark Grimaldi, who I heard in your advertisement, I asked him when he gets some time if he would want to come on my show and actually talk about that.
Oh, cool.
That passage.
Do you know his view yet?
No. Okay. I only asked him if he would come on. He said yes. You know, he's got a lot going on right now, so I'm hoping when things clear up for him, we'll get that going. That'll be great.
No, by the way, but please don't let me forget. How do, and by the way, folks, we're not over yet. We still have another segment, but I just want to make sure that I don't forget to ask Jennifer what the website is that where people can listen to your own podcast.
Mm-hmm. My website, which is kind of the hub for all of my handles, all of my social media, and my podcast, which is X Psychic Saved Podcast, available on all your podcast listening platforms for the most part. But my website is www.xpsychicsaved.com, expysychicsaved.com. And there you'll find the links for my TikTok, my YouTube, my Instagram, and my podcast, X Psychic Saved Podcast, which is completely dedicated to exposing the New Age tactics, the New Age deceptions, and the practices that are still going on today.
All right, we have to go to our final break. And if you have any interest in joining the conversation with your own question, please send in your question immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jen Nizza.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the larger catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureComm Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureComm Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureCommGroup.com. That's SecureCommGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Welcome back. Folks, please don't forget that an advertiser that you hear every day, and you've been hearing it for years, Historical Bible Society, that was founded by its president, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, a dear friend of mine since the early 1990s, and he has been a financial supporter of nearly everything that I have done in the realm of public service representing Christ in the gospel, whether they be debates or my radio program or Bible conferences. Please, if you are the victim of a personal injury or medical malpractice, no matter where you live in the United States, call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, and please mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Jennifer Nizza, who has written a book, From Psychic to Saved, that we have been discussing. And we do have a listener. I was just looking at it. Where did she go? Or perhaps he, because Meredith could be either a man or a woman's name. Meredith in Charlotte, New York. I didn't even know there was a Charlotte, New York. Meredith asks, have these demonic manifestations ever been conjured up in your mind in life now after you have been born again?
Okay, so I'm actually writing a book right now about spiritual warfare and demonic attacks, and the Christian is not exempt from some oppression. As we know, we cannot be possessed, but there is some oppression. And I have been spiritually attacked in the time that I've come to Christ. In that regard, psychically, maybe twice, and it shook me to my core. But as my walk got stronger and my knowledge of God's word increased, we have God gives us so many principles, so many biblical principles, spiritual weapons in the spiritual battle. That, of course, he talks about in Ephesians 6:12, the spiritual battle. And I pray, I've fasted, I have, I'm in the Word daily, I'm in church weekly, I'm in encouragement group, which Chris may be familiar with from Grace Reformed. But it's only happened a couple of times, and it was an attempt, in my opinion, an attempt to just try to lure me back. provoke fear and discomfort, and of course it's not going to work.
Amen. We have time for one more question. We have Benjamin in Pepper, Delaware. And Benjamin says, you said earlier when you were an active psychic medium that you were not demon possessed. How do you know that?
Because if you think about the possession accounts in the Bible, you could see that they had no control. They were not of sound mind at all. They were not able to, they weren't functioning. So I don't believe one is going to be possessed. I mean, they were completely taken over. That's what possession is. The demon completely takes over. So you're not going to the store with a list, you know, picking up groceries, you know, doing a reading, then, you know, tucking your children in at night and driving them to school in the morning. That's not possession. I would say it was heavy demonic oppression, but not possession. And I would concede that I probably was getting close to some sort of possession. I wouldn't be surprised if that was getting close to that, but no, you could see what possession is according to the accounts in the Bible.
By the way, everybody who's written in questions, you have won a free copy of the book that we have been addressing by Jennifer Nizza from Psychic to Saved. Make sure we have your full mailing addresses so that cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, can ship you out a copy. One last question for myself. Tell us about the very frequently held belief, especially it seems by charismatic and Pentecostal Christians, that physical possessions that you bring into your home could bring demons into your house. It could have been a possession that was owned by somebody involved in the occult, and you naively, innocently bring it in your house, and all of a sudden you've wreaked havoc in your home. And then a last, and these have to be fairly brief answers, and the last one would be about Ouija boards. Is something like that really dangerous?
Those are such huge topics, Chris.
Well, we have to have you back then. That's all that means.
Yeah, it's like a cliffhanger. Let me go with the second one first. Ouija boards absolutely are dangerous. It's a tool of divination. One can say it's just a wooden board. It's a wooden board used as a tool of divination to contact who you believe is the dead. You're only invoking demons. When you do that, you're going into the practice of divination, and you are going to get the consequences of that. And unfortunately, demonic activity, opening those doors. In regards to your first question, what a convenient idea it is to believe that you have these, you know, soul ties or soul attachments or demonic attachments, and that the Christian can be possessed, because then the answer to that, of course, would be the deliverance ministry, which is not biblical to go to man for anything like that. But no, you don't need to worry about, my goodness, where would the freedom in Christ be if we had to worry about every single place we went or people that we knew or things that happened? And then we have all these attachments and we're right. Coming home with these attachments.
Yeah, definitely stop shopping for antiques if that was the case.
just be discerning. Be smart. I mean, you're not going to don't sit and watch Paranormal Activity, the movie. Don't watch Ghost Hunters. Don't have tea and coffee with psychic mediums. Certainly don't go for readings. Don't do things that are blatantly demonic. And now you know, and I pray that you know now, that these practices are demonic and only demonic. They are unholy, ungodly, and spiritually dangerous. Just be very discerning.
Well, thank you for being such a superb guest. And I really meant what I said. I want you to come back to the show, and I look forward to frequent visits from you, God willing. Don't forget, folks, the website is xpsychicsaved.com, xpsychicsaved.com. And also, don't forget about the website for the church where Jennifer is a member, my former church, or should I say the church I formerly attended when I was on Long Island, gracereformedbaptistchurch.org, gracereformedbaptistchurch.org. Which is located on Long Island in Merrick, New York. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want to thank especially those who took the time to write in questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.